Well, today I'm going to continue talking about prayer and fasting. If you remember, Pastor Pete started off the year talking about worshiping God with our bodies. And I really loved that message, and it motivated Tammy and I to do what he preached. Amen? Who else is giving it a little more focus? Sometimes we know this stuff. We just need to be reminded of this stuff so that we'll what? Do this stuff. And then last week I talked about the importance of prayer and fasting. And one of my talking points was you need to know the why behind the fast. Because if you don't know why you're fasting, you probably won't stick with it. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands if you're still going or if you're not. But I do want to tell you this. If you're still going, keep going. We're 2/3 of the way through. We got one more week. We can do this. If you never got on the train or you got off the train, I pray that God will give you the grace to get back on the train and finish what you started or finish what you had an opportunity to start. And just put God to the test to see if it doesn't have a positive spiritual and physical impact on you when you pray and fast. Today I'm going to talk more about that, and I've titled today's message Fast Forward, because the Bible teaches about fasting for short periods of time, but it also talks about doing it continually and not just at the beginning of the year so you can have a better year or so that you can get breakthrough on something big that you've been praying for. And so I think we're going to continue doing a 21-day fast as a church, but I'm going to talk about today the importance and the benefits of us individually continuing this spiritual discipline so that we can live our best life for God. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your truth. We thank you for your word. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to our hearts about what you want us to hear, that we would have ears to hear, and that we would have a heart to respond and do what we hear. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to or click to Daniel chapter 1. So who's been fasting? Good. Who's still fasting? Good. There are benefits to fasting. And today I'm going to share with you not only the spiritual benefits, but some physical benefits. We see this in Daniel chapter 1. If you go ahead and turn there. Let me say a few things that kind of set up the context of this story. So Daniel was a young man, a Jewish man living in Jerusalem. During the time that Jerusalem was taken into captivity by Babylon, the Babylonians, and that happened several times, and during this first captivity, Daniel and his three amigos, and they have both a Hebrew name, but also a Greek name, and we're gonna talk about them today. But during this time, King Nebuchadnezzar had heard that these young Jewish men who were connected to God were probably some of the best young men to have on your side, and so he was interested in recruiting them for his service. And so he had a commander that he put over Daniel and his friends, and one of the requirements was to enter into a boot camp, into training in the king's service. And what went with that was the king had this Longhorn Steakhouse menu, steaks and wine. Who likes Longhorn Steakhouse? One of my favorite places, yeah. But Daniel didn't want to eat the king's food or drink the king's wine because he was convicted that it wasn't good for you. And so when the guard that was over him came, the officer came and said, "Hey, you need to play by the king's rules or you're going to make it hard for me because I could lose my life if you don't obey the king's rules." And so Daniel very kindly and politely said, "Hey, would you be willing to make an exception for me and my friends? Would you give us 10 days to eat our own food, and we're not going to drink any wine, and just see if we're not healthier and stronger and smarter than all the guys that are, you know, eating off the buffet?" And so this guard agreed to do it. And I want to pick up in verse 12. Daniel says this, please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Now, I know that doesn't motivate most of us. We like the chicken fried. We like the sweets, the desserts. We like all that good eating, don't we, Willie? Come on, Willie. But Daniel says, no, I want veggies and water. And then he says this, then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food and treat your servants in accordance with what you see. So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. Now watch what happens, verse 15. At the end of the 10 days, they looked what? Healthier and better nourished. Now who would say that's a benefit of doing it Daniel's way? Yeah. They were better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. To these four young men, so Daniel and his three friends who were eating vegetables and drinking water. Did I say eating vegetables? Okay. God gave knowledge. Here's some more benefits. God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning, and Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. Now, fast forward 3 years, because the king had called them into service for 3 years. They went through training for 3 years. Verse 18, at the end of the time set by the king to bring them into his service, so we know it's 3 years, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar, and the king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, so they entered the king's service. In every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. Who would agree that Daniel's way was a better way? Who would agree that when Daniel was pursuing God and he was praying and eating the way God had led him to eat, that the results were better? There were benefits to that. It says they looked healthier. They were better nourished. That's physical benefits. It says God gave them increased knowledge and wisdom to understand and interpret visions and dreams in the council of the king. It's 10 times better. That's kind of like spiritual benefits. So we see both physical and spiritual benefits. Now, one of the questions that would, you know, needs to be answered perhaps is, was this a fast or was this a diet? And I believe it was a diet. It was a preferred eating plan because it lasted for 3 years, right? It didn't say they went without food. It just says they ate better food. In fact, in the New Living Translation, it says, please test us for 10 days on a diet of vegetables and water. Nothing wrong with that. Just because they didn't fast totally doesn't mean there's not benefits for eating healthy and eating the way God would lead us to eat. Amen? Now turn to Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10, starting in verse 2, it says, at that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions at all until the 3 weeks were over. I normally don't think about fasting lotions. In fact, Tammy will attest, I hardly go a day without any lotion, right? I got to have the lotion. It keeps my skin looking nice and young and smooth and not all wrinkly like some of y'all have. You know, we just you got to put the lotion on. I wouldn't think about taking a shower and not putting some lotion on. But they were fasting lotions as well. For 10 days. And now in this case, they were doing it for 3 days. And he was mourning over something. This is if you think about 3 weeks, 21 days, this is where the 21-day fast, which is why they sometimes call it the Daniel fast, This is where that comes from. It says, for 3 weeks he ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched his lips. I believe this was a fast, a partial fast, right? And notice it says, at that time. Well, if you look at verse 1, if you go back to verse 1, what time was he talking about? It says, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, this is 30 years later, a revelation was given to Daniel, who was called Belshazzar. Its message was true, and it concerned a great war. The understanding of the message came to him in a vision. And I believe it was during a time where he was fasting. Now, some of you who've been fasting, especially with no food or less food, have you noticed a difference in your clarity of being able to read God's word, understand God's word, and hear God in a better way than before? You know, sometimes when we just eat and eat and eat, and we enjoy the comforts of our world, sometimes it's like wax in the ear. Sometimes it clogs up our hearing. Sometimes it blurs our vision. And I have found that fasting helps me see more clearly and hear better, right? Now, you have to fight through the hunger pains. You have to fight through the things your flesh likes. But my spirit is more alive. My spirit is more energized when I'm praying and fasting. I hope you find the same is true. And if you haven't been, you might just try it and see. I think you'll like it. I've never had somebody come to me and say, you know, I fasted during that 21 days and my life is worse. I've never heard that. Christy, have you ever heard anybody say that? No, I haven't. And so you might just put it into action and see for yourself. So Daniel was fasting and praying. Now, look at verse 12. Look at verse 12. He says, go back to verse 1. It says, the understanding of the message came to him in a vision. And then for the next, you know, 9 or so verses, 10 verses, it talks about the vision. But then at the end of that, it says, do not be afraid, Daniel, since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before the Lord. Many times that term, humble yourself, was referring to fasting. He said, from the first day that you were fasting, when God gave you this vision, when I gave you this vision, and you've been trying to understand it and whatnot, it says, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. I have found that when I pray and fast, it seems like God hears me better, or maybe I'm just confirmed, it's affirmed that he hears me better, and that's energizing. And so what's my point? My point is this. Whether you're fasting or eating healthier, the way Daniel did in both chapter 1 and chapter 10, there are benefits. So I want to talk real quick. There's this term called the Daniel fast. It's a 3-week fast, 21-day fast. And it pretty much is, you know, vegetables and water. And that's for a limited period of time. Whether it's for a day or 3 days or a week or 3 weeks or longer, the purpose is to give up the things that you really enjoy and replace it with some spiritual things to try to draw you closer to God and get some clarity in some spiritual things. But there's also what they call the Daniel plan. It's a diet of just eating better food. And so you got the Daniel fast, you got the Daniel plan. So Tammy and I, back when we started our fast, we did a 3-day only water fast, and then we transitioned into the Daniel plan. It's a modified version. I think Tammy went more keto, and I'm trying to go more Daniel. But, you know, sometimes we, you know, compromise. But listen, I don't want fasting to be a legalistic practice. So I told you last week that on my daughter's birthday, we went out to celebrate it, and I asked the Lord, I didn't really hear him answer, but I just assumed he gave me permission to break my fast. And it was okay. It was okay. I think he enjoyed us celebrating with our daughter and loving her, and it's hard to do that when you're surrounded by a buffet of good food. and you're trying to act spiritual and fast and all this. And I said, you know what, I'm not playing that game. Lord, can I just come off this fast for the night? And of course, it ended up being about halfway through the next day too. But Sunday's coming. I got to get back on the fast. I got to be a doer of what I'm preaching. And then last night was the second exception. We had a quinceañera, and you can't go to a quinceañera and not eat some food, right? So Tammy and I got together. I said, I'm gonna call a break in our fast for tonight, and let's go eat and have fun. And so we did. And I saw many of you doing the same thing. So it's okay. Let's don't be legalistic about it. Okay, but let's get back on it. We still have one more week to go. Let's get back on it. Let's exercise discipline, and let's continue to pursue God in the way we did when we started the fast. Amen. I've titled today's message Fast Forward because in the time I have left, I want to share with you, I want to challenge you with this idea that you don't just fast at the beginning of the year to have a better year or to have some, you know, breakthrough and an answer to prayer, but that it would become more of a lifestyle, spiritual lifestyle and discipline that you incorporate in your daily life. And I'm going to give you some reasons why it benefits your body, it benefits your soul, and it benefits your spirit. And that's the whole person. And so let's look at this. Benefits of fasting. Body, soul, and spirit. Remember, Jesus said, when you fast. Not if you fast, but when you fast. I believe that Jesus expects us as Christ followers to fast. As we're led to fast, right? And it's not just to lose weight and look better. That's one of the benefits. But it's also to pursue God in spiritual things. So let's talk about the body first. Your body is not your own. It belongs to God, and you need to steward it well. If you remember, Pastor Pete started off the year talking about that. But I want to read two verses, and I think they were verses that he used. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, say it with me, honor God with your bodies. And that was the title of his message, right? Worship God with your bodies. Romans 12, 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters. We know he's talking to believers, to Christians, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Now, you might write a few things down here if you're taking notes. How do we offer our bodies as a living sacrifice? Sacrifice. One thought is this: avoid sinning. If you think about it, most of the sins we commit is with our body. Now, I know that some sins are sins of thoughts. We have sinful thoughts, but you know, our actions start with a thought. So if we have a sinful thought, then we carry that out with physical action, and normally our bodies are involved. And so one of the ways is just to, I don't know if you can avoid sinning altogether, but let's say this, sin less, right? We're not sinless, but we can sin less and less and less for the glory of God and for our benefit, amen? Another way is to eat better and fast occasionally. If eating the wrong foods creates problems in your body, then maybe not eating the wrong foods can help with some of your body problems, some of your health problems. I know in 2023, when I was dealing with the prostate cancer, I cut out all sugars. I was trying to, I was 5 years late to the dance because for 5 years I heard God saying, you're going to wait till you get a bad report to do it the way I've told you to do it. And that's what happened. And so now I'm, you know, taking God a little more serious, and I cut out all the sugars. And it wasn't fun at first, but it really helped me with my health. And I shed about 40 pounds, and I felt better. Now, I had the surgery, and then, you know, what do real smart people do? They go back to what they used to enjoy, and I put some of that weight back on, but this fast has kickstarted me to continue taking it back in the other direction. And so, you know, sometimes I'm good at these things, sometimes I'm not that good at these things, but it doesn't violate or void God's truth about these things. And it's my job to deliver you the truth and hopefully be a living example of it. So if I fall short in that, please forgive me. But don't let that be your excuse as to why you don't put God's word into practice in your life. And then exercising, physical exercise, it's good. It reminds me about the boy that wanted a car. And his dad said, well, if you cut your hair, I'll get you a car. And the guy said, well, why should I cut my hair? Jesus had long hair. And the father said, yeah, and he walked everywhere he went. So Jesus got a lot of exercise, didn't he? So listen, if we're going to be like Jesus, we need to get a lot of exercise. Try walking more, amen? And our bodies are like cars. We need to maintain them. And I wrote a note here, daily, weekly. There's things we need to do daily. There's things we need to do weekly. Maybe some things monthly or annually. And so when it comes to prayer and fasting, what about this? On a daily or weekly basis, why don't we eat right and exercise? Who thinks that's possible? Eat better, exercise more, right? Monthly, why don't we fast for a day? One day a month, or 2 days, or 3 days, right? Why don't we try to bring into that practice at the first of every month, I'm going to fast, and I'm going to pursue God in some deeper ways. And then once a year, I think it's okay to kick off the new year with a 21-day fast, how the Lord leads you to do that. But those are some ways that we can make these, let's call them sacrifices with our bodies for our benefit and for the glory of God. I put down some benefits up here of some physical benefits of fasting. You want to take a snapshot of that. Reduces toxins in your body. It does increase your strength, believe it or not. It reverses disease, and you feel better and look better. What's wrong with that? Amen? So those are benefits for the body. Let's talk about the soul. Now, when we talk about our soul, we're talking about not our spirit. We're talking about our soul, our mind, will, and emotions. How we think, how we make decisions, the choices we make, and how we feel. Look at Romans 12:2. Verses 2 and 3. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed, be changed by the what? The renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. Listen, humble yourself. And remember what I said earlier about humbling yourself involves fasting. When you fast, it will humble you. And that's what he says here. Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. When we fast the right way, instead of eating so much, we get in God's word and we pray and we spend time with him and we listen to what he says and we obey what he tells us to. Our minds are renewed to think like God thinks, our wills are realigned to do the will of God, and our emotions follow suit with joy and peace, and we just feel better. Now, who would raise your hand and say, that's true, I've experienced those when I do it, okay? Well, it's like going to the gym. If the gym makes me feel so good after I work out, why do I have such a problem going to the gym to work out? Anybody have the same problem? It's doing it. We know it makes us feel better. Why not do it? Why not look forward to doing it? It doesn't make sense. So we have to sometimes fight through that. Look at 2 Corinthians 10:5. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Remember a while ago I said most sins involve our body. Every sin starts with a thought. Every sin starts with a thought. That's why Paul reminds us to take every thought captive. Listen, when you have a sinful thought, that's not a sin to have a thought, but it can lead to sin if you follow through on that thought, whatever it is. So capture it at the thought stage. Every bad decision started with a thought. Every negative feeling started with a thought. So if you want a better life, you want to make better decisions, you want to feel better, you want to be closer to God, then tune in to God, get on the same page with him. Fasting will do that. And then number three, our spirit. Fasting brings spiritual clarity. We just read in Romans 12:2, do not conform to the pattern of this world. That's usually what leads to our spiritual apathy, is we get comfortable and we do things the way the world does it, the way the world preaches. And it kind of works against what we're trying to achieve when we want to draw closer to God and be more spiritually alert. Which is why we should fast from things that feed into that. Social media. I think I've heard some of you say you're fasting social media. Remember last week I said I'm going to fast, what is it, Tammy, that bugs you so much? Those reels. Those Facebook reels. I didn't do too well this week. And so I have another week. I have another week to be a doer of what I heard and preached, and I have the best accountability partner. Little Holy Spirit Jr. right here is right there holding me accountable. You know, sometimes the Holy Spirit's busy with other people and he's got his helper right here. She's my helpmate and she helps me do the right things. Too much television, too much food, too much of the wrong foods, even a negative mindset. I think Pastor Jacqueline preached to the youth on Wednesday about anger and how you need to change your thinking about that and swing that thing, right? If you find yourself angry, just go to the Lord and ask the Lord, Lord, I'm feeling angry right now, and I want you to help me deal with that so I can change that. I won't be angry. Now, these things I'm talking about is not forever, but it's for a season of time, and it's throughout the year. Fasting brings spiritual revival. You know, I've heard people say, I'm praying for revival, I'm praying for revival. Well, you might think about fasting. Fasting brings revival. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. I have found that when I fast, I just have a deeper spiritual awareness of things. And it's funny because, you know, I could read a scripture in God's Word, and I've read it before, but it didn't jump out at me and talk to me like it did this time. You know, and so I just encourage you to, that's why when we fast, we need to also get in God's Word and let Him speak to us through His Word as well as in prayer. And then fasting brings spiritual freedom. It breaks demonic strongholds. In our John 10:10 ministry here at our church, we help people deal with some of the strongholds. They have a grip on your life, maybe a grip on your mind or a grip on your heart, and you know it, you know it. You know, you could sit down in your own private time and say, you know what, when I think about my relationship with God, I'm doing this well, but you know, I got this whole thing over here, or maybe several things right here that I feel like are interfering in me having a deeper, more solid relationship with God. And it might be something with your emotions. It might be a personality issue. It could be an addiction of some sort. It could be an emotional stronghold with anger, right? I talk to people all the time. They can be nice, you know, 28 days of the month, but man, there's 2 or 3 months. I'm not talking about just women. I'm talking about men too. There's 2 or 3 days of the month where they just, I don't know, they just go off. Or maybe for some of you, it's like every day or every week. And so if it's a continual demonstrative problem and you've tried to shake it, but you would say, I have an anger problem, I have an anger issue. Listen, fasting will help break that. In fact, at our John 10:10, we suggest, we recommend, you can't require, but you can recommend that if you'll fast for 1 or 2 or 3 days before our ministry time, I think we get better results. Chris, you found that to be true. When we fast, when we pray and fast, and we weaken that flesh, right? If you have some demonic strongholds that are interfering in your life, we have found that those strongholds will surrender and lose their grip. It's easier to do that when you've been fasting. Isaiah 58:6. This is kind of God's pattern. Is this not the fast that I've chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free? That's something that happens when we fast. So those are some of the benefits of fasting, body, soul, and spirit. And I want to sum it up by saying this. It's okay to do a 21-day fast to start your year, but I want to challenge you, church, let's do this throughout the year. Let's both fast throughout the year as we're praying, but let's continue to pray, but let's also eat better. Let's take better care of our bodies. Let's exercise, eat better, so we can be healthier and we can do a better job for God. Amen? Amen. Amen. Would you bow your heads? What do you hear God saying to you through this message? Listen, if he spoke something specific to you, would you write it down and take that to him this week and continue the conversation about how we're going to do this, God? I heard you say this. I'm a bit resistant to it. Would you help me change my mind so I can change my behavior, my actions, and do what it is that you know is better for me? I want you to have that time with God this week. Because if you hear it from God and you have a good why, there's a better chance of you living it out than not. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you the desire to do this. Because most of us don't have the desire. And ask God to give you the grace, the willpower. God, give me grace to do what you've called me to do. Give me the strength, give me the power, give me the want to, give me the desire. And he will. He will. Father, thank you for showing us from your word the truth about prayer and fasting and some benefits with it. And I know, Lord, that there will be blessings that come when we do it your way. And so that's what I pray for everybody in our church today and those listening online, that when we listen to your word and obey it, you will bless. I want to take just a moment. If you're here in the house with us or you're watching online, I want to take a moment to not just talk about prayer and fasting. I know that we won't do this if we don't have a relationship with God. We really don't have a godly reason to do this if we don't know God. And so maybe there's somebody here in the house with us today or watching online that you're not 100% certain that you have a good relationship or a right relationship with God and his son Jesus. Maybe you came to church today because you've been out of connection with him, or maybe you've never really felt the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. And that can change today. That can change today. The Bible says if you'll confess with your mouth and believe in your heart what God says about your sin problem and how to be saved, that he'll honor your faith. If you'll make a decision to follow God through Jesus, through his son Jesus. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And so if you've never come to the Father through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone, and you're thinking, maybe that's what's missing, maybe that's my next step, I want you to raise your hand because I want to pray for you. Just raise it up. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. There are two people in this house, two types of people, those who have done this and those who haven't. And so I would say that a lot of you have, but maybe some of you haven't, and we would love for you to do this. We would love for you to surrender your life. I know God would love it. I know Jesus died for you to do that. He died so you could have this option, this choice. Anybody here in the house? Maybe there's somebody watching online, I don't know, but if you have done this, this is just a good prayer to pray with those that you run into that maybe haven't. It's a very simple prayer. And so just agree with me as I lead this prayer. And it may be somebody online might be praying this for the first time. And if that's you, I hope you can contact us and we can have a pastor call you and celebrate that with you and talk with you about that. But I just want to pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, thank you for dying on a cross to pay the penalty of our sins. That includes my sins. Thank you for paying the penalty for my sins so I wouldn't have to. today I'm going to confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that you are God's Son, that you came to this earth to tell us the truth about who God is and about who you are, and that you did what you came to earth to do, and that's to be offered up as a permanent sacrifice for all mankind and our sinfulness. And so today I say, thank you, Jesus. Today I say, I receive your blood payment for my sin. I believe that you died on a cross so I wouldn't be punished eternally for my sins. And I say, thank you, thank you, thank you. And so today I'm choosing to put my trust in you for who you are and what you did for me. And from this day forward, because you died for me, I'm going to live for you. I'm going to honor you. I'm going to obey you. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to worship you. And I'm going to tell others about you, because I know some people in my life that need this. And so I want to be your man, your woman for the rest of my life. Thank you for what you've done for me today. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer maybe for the first time, or maybe for the first time in a long time, and for some reason today you just like meant it more than you did before, I want to know about it. I want to celebrate that with you. Amen. Let's all stand and worship God one more time. I love you, and I'll see you next Sunday.